The show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. And on today's program, since I mentioned earlier, the Center for American Music and Sousa Archives, they both are connected to a performance by Dance at Illinois, at the University of Illinois, that is, called November Dance, their annual November Dance program, logically enough, which runs Thursday through Saturday at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. And among the pieces on the program involve some live performance of Sousa's music. And we'll have some of that and a preview from choreographer Sarah Hook on the later portion of our show today, along with Scott Schwartz, who is director of the Center for American Music and Sousa Archives. First up, though, we'll be talking about a fundraising event, which is also an entertainment event, that will benefit Illinois Public Media's Book Mentor Project. The program is called Words in the Wind. It happens Thursday night at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. It involves some stories and songs and more, and we'll be having samples of both live in our studio on today's show. It's live and local on FM 90.9. Music by John Philip Sousa called The Bell of Chicago in a performance by the River City Brass Band of Pittsburgh under the leadership of Robert Bernat on that recording anyway. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9, and that's sort of by way of preview of the second segment of our program today, which will include some live music by Sousa from the Vintage Brass Band here in our area. They're going to be performing as part of November Dance at the University of Illinois Thursday through Saturday. Thursday night, also in competition, so to speak, is a program called Words in the Wind that will take place at Faith United Methodist Church on South Prospect Avenue in Champaign, 7:30. It's a fundraising event for Illinois Public Media's Book Mentor Project. And we've covered this event two previous years, and I think that means we've covered them all, if I'm not mistaken. And it's organized by Tom Mitchell, who's professor of theater at University of Illinois, and also Parkland theater instructor Joy Hoffsummer. And Tom has organized a number of performers for some songs and stories. And Cara Morizzi is with us among those performers, and Kent Conrad is both playing and singing and reading, and I don't know what all else he's doing, and Kara's doing none of the playing, I guess, or at least not on the piano.
Just the singing. Talking.
And Tom is here as well. Thank you all very much for coming in.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
So, Tom, how about a little bit of an overview of what you know, first of all, of the Book Mentor Project, because you've been involved in this fundraiser for 3 years now.
Right. Well, the project is it seems like a great project that makes books available to disadvantaged families so that parents, grandparents can read with children and raise kids who have imaginations and who love books and love to read. We've been interested in that project for a long time, and together with a lot of other local performers thought it was a way that we could help out in the community in the small ways that we can, by putting together a performance of books, books that were written for kids. We perform them for kids, for adults, for everybody. And as a parent myself, I remember years ago reading to my children. I love kids' books. They're funny. They're good stories. Sometimes they're heroic stories, and they're often short. All that seems good, and so we've put together an evening of a variety of the best of those kinds of children's stories.
You forgot something important regarding kids' books. They have pictures.
Yes, they do. But in this performance, we forego the pictures pictures in kids' books are great, but the words of the kids' books sometimes will tell the story by themselves, and that's something that we're trying to do.
Well, and they will have the visual stimulus of having performers in front of them, which
right.
I'm sure helps as well. Why the name Words in the Wind?
Well, we tried out a whole lot of different titles, and that was the one that sort of stuck. It's about words. I mean, this is a performance about words. We think of it as a book concert. So just as a collection of musicians might stand before an audience and perform their solos, we're doing this sort of solo performance of words for our audiences.
And your performers, I mentioned the two who you have with you and also Joy Hofsummer, but you've got some other theater veterans, including from Parkland College and also from the U of I and from other places as well.
Yeah, from all around. In fact, one of ours is Joanna McClay, who's a professor at the university for a long time in the oral interpretation program. She's been retired, but I've coaxed her back out of retirement. In the past several years, she's been acting in Chicago, but while she's in town, she's going to perform with us. Deke Weaver from the School of Art and Design, who's a performance artist, is joining us to perform. Dallas Street from Parkland will be there. Gary Ambler and Rob Zaleski from the Station Theater. So folks from all over town.
And some songs as well.
Yeah.
How do they figure into the book thing?
Well, we have a song from Mr. Rogers, a song from Stephen Sondheim's Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, which is not exactly a kid's book, but sort of comments on what we're doing. And a number of other songs that are either in the theme of the books that we're using or songs that have been used in children's literature.
I know you brought a number of excerpts. What would you like to start with?
I think we should start with a book called If I Never Endeavor that Kara is performing.
And who is this by?
This is by Holly Mead. If in all of forever I never endeavor to fly, I won't know if I can. I won't know if I can't. I won't know if or whether a flight I might fly should I choose to ever give it a try. On the one wing, I could try and find that I flap and I fail, flounder and plummet, look foolish and fail. On the other wing, I could try and take flight, rise high and float free, sail through the trees. If I did endeavor and found my wings clever, I could see the world. Or get lost in it. My nest is so nice, the nicest of nests. Who needs to fly ever? I think I'll forget all about this endeavor. But look there. If I don't fly, I won't know what it is to swoop low or soar high, or what it's like to pluck a sweet bug from the sky. I won't know how it feels to scallop the air with a dip and a glide, or float alongside a friend. Sigh. I suppose I could try a little flap, a flutter or two. Flutter, thwack, thud, thump, flap, flutter, flap, flap, fly! Look at me! I'm dipping and gliding and daring and flying! If I hadn't endeavored and found my wings clever, I never a sky would have scaled, never a world would have seen, and never a friend would have found. Friends of a feather, I say, endeavor and fly.
Sitting firmly in her chair was Kara Morizzi to read that story, If I Never Endeavor, by Holly Mead. And that is among the numerous stories and songs that will be performed at Words in the Wind, a fundraising event for Illinois Public Media's Book Mentor Project, happening Thursday night at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign, starts at 7:30. And Molly Delaney, who's the Educational Outreach Director for Illinois Public Media, which includes the WYNL television and radio stations, all three, says this about the Words in the Wind event, quote, "It's really a unique, one-of-a-kind opportunity offered in our community that's not being done anywhere else. If you love theater or children's literature, it's an event you can't miss," unquote. So, I mean, I assume it's implied that this is particularly child-friendly and family-friendly in general.
It's family-friendly, certainly, but not exclusively so. And we love any adults to come and join us. And I think it's surprising how these stories and books play for adult listeners.
Well, as you said earlier, you know, you take delight in reading children's literature.
Right.
Partly because you've got kids. How old are your kids?
Oh, they're like old.
Oh, old.
In their 20s.
Oh, so they're gone when you're still reading the books.
That's
to yourself.
Right. Yeah, I have to sneak into the children's section.
I think it's still fun that we, what do they call it, the Read Across America Day that happens every year at Lincoln Square in Urbana. And often Molly will corral talent, as they say, personalities from WILL to read some of those stories, and I've enjoyed reading sometimes to the kids. And you know, the pictures are important too, but I think they really want to know what happens. They get excited when they hear about birds flying. Or I assume you were a bird. You could have been a butterfly for all I know.
Well, yes, the illustrations were a bird, but I hadn't seen the book when I first read the words, and I knew I was going to be singing a song about Amelia Earhart, so I was sort of imagining her when I read it the first time, and it really could be anything or anyone.
So will you be doing the Amelia Earhart song right after the bird flying song?
It'll come later in the program, but yeah.
We actually have a story. There's one of the books is about Amelia Earhart.
Oh, so you have themes going on here.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Do you primarily select the
stories? I do. So I get the pleasure of looking through lots and lots of books and choosing things and putting them together and matching them with the talent that we've got.
And among those talented people is Kent Conrad, who is teaching at Eastern Illinois University. You're still teaching there, Kent?
I am. That's correct.
And coaching and other things. And wonderful pianist, and also you've been doing some acting of late, I know, including singing. What are you going to do for us today?
Well, Kevin, I know that you and I both grew up in the wonderful state of Pennsylvania, and this is a song by one of the great Pennsylvanians, Fred Rogers, from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It's called You Can Do It. It's a song about trying. You can make believe it happens, or pretend that something's true. You can wish or hope or contemplate a thing you'd like to do. But until you start to do it, you will never see it through. 'Cause the make-believe pretending just won't do it for you. You've got to do it. Every little bit you've got to do it, do it, do it, do it. And when you're through, you can know who did it, for you did it, you did it, you did it. If you want to ride a bicycle and ride it straight and tall, you can't simply sit and look at it, 'cause it won't move at all. But it's you who have to try it, and it's you who have to fall. Sometimes. If you want to ride a bicycle and ride it straight and tall, you've got to do it. Every little bit you gotta do it, do it, do it, do it. And when you're through, you can know who did it, for you did it, you did it, you did it. you're through, you can know who did it, for you did it. You did it. You did it.
Song by Fred Rogers, as in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, called You've Got to Do It, sung and played by Kent Conrad. So will you come out and change into your cardigan before you do that?
You know, I have a number of cardigans. That's probably a good idea to do that, yes.
I'm a big fan of cardigans myself. Maybe that's a Pennsylvania thing.
It might be.
You know, I was thinking about Fred Rogers while you were singing that, and reminded that he was a Presbyterian minister, I think, wasn't he?
That's true. Yes.
Minister. Did he all? I'm not sure. I knew that he wrote songs. Did he also play the piano?
He played the piano. He had a degree in music, and I was sharing with Tom that one of my best friends back in Pennsylvania, Lynn Melendondri, was Prince Tuesday on the show. And then after Johnny Costa, who was the jazz pianist that would play all the theme music for the show, passed away, my friend Len became the pianist for the show.
Hmm. So you have a bit of a connection there.
I do.
Yeah. Well, nicely done. And I understand, Tom, you're actually going to get involved in the performing aspect of this as well at the
event.
Well,
just a little bit, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to pick all these stories, you certainly have the right to.
That's right.
Did you save the best for yourself?
No, not at all.
How did you decide what to keep? Or did you give away all the good ones?
I usually give away the good ones, and what's left I will take.
Well, of course, you know, you only pick the good ones. Otherwise,
that's right.
Why put
that's
them on
right.
the show? And what have you brought?
I brought a bit of Amelia Earhart's Last Flight. Which leads into the song that Kara mentioned. So this is called Night Flight, Amelia Earhart Crosses the Atlantic by Robert Burley. Harbor Grace, Newfoundland, May 20th, 1932. From high in the cockpit, a woman gazes down. It is exactly 7:12 p.m. The sunset ripples over the rough-hewn airfield. Goodbye, my friends, goodbye. Amelia Earhart pushes her last doubts into a secret place deep inside her. It is here, the hour, the very minute. Go. The red Vega rolls down the runway faster, then faster. The plane swoops like a swallow over dark puddles and patches of tundra. The shore gleams in the waning light. The waves are curls of cream-colored froth. The plane ascends higher and higher as the pounding surf turns noiseless below. Amelia Earhart lives for this moment, to follow the wide horizon that never ends. The moon peaks between wisps of shimmering clouds. Distant stars flicker and fade. Her mind soars. She loves what she likes to call first-time things. She remembers roller coasters, bicycles, bare-backed horses. She sees herself standing, again, a young girl, before whirling propellers. The props send puffs of soft snow into her delighted eyes. What she has seen from above, mountains like wrinkles in the earth, cities like toy blocks, cars like ants, and the blue Pacific glittering into mist. And now she must cross this dark and seething ocean. Why? Because women must try to do things as men have tried. And that's the beginning of the story of Amelia Earhart.
By Robert Burley.
Right. And this was her successful flight across the Atlantic Ocean.
While you were reading that, I was also thinking, boy, it's taking this, my brain is going back. Now that we're thinking about children's things, and when I was a kid, there used to be this television show with Walter Cronkite called You Were There. You all remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Carrie, you're probably too young.
Yeah.
But one of the shows was on Amelia Earhart, and the one where she didn't come back and disappeared. And Cronkite had a wonderful way of, when it was done, he would, you know, when they told the story, and you were there, which I can't do, Walter Cronkite. But I wondered if, would you assume that kids coming to this story, would, to this event, would know the story of Amelia Earhart?
I think some children do know. I think for others, that's a discovery, discovering those heroes from our history and beginning to attach names to stories like this.
So do you give at the event any sort of introduction to what you read? Or just...
We don't really. This maybe we intrigue the children who come so that they follow up and ask their parents about this afterwards.
Well, and that's a lot of the point of reading, isn't it? You read something, you get intrigued, you want to read some more, and so on. We're talking with Tom Mitchell of the Book Mentor Project's fundraising event this Thursday night called Words in the Wind. He's professor at the University of Illinois Theater Department. And also with him is Kara Morisi and Kent Conrad, who I presume are going to collaborate on this next song.
That's correct.
Yes.
Which also has to do with Amelia Earhart. Kara is now moving to the singing microphone.
The one with the nice fancy filter.
That's right.
This is a song called Amelia Earhart's Last Flight. Well, a ship out on the ocean, just a speck against the sky. Amelia Earhart flying that sad day with her partner, Captain Noonan, on the 2nd of July. Her plane fell in the ocean far away. There's a beautiful, beautiful field far away in the land that is fair. Happy landings to you, Amelia Earhart. Farewell, First Lady. Just one verse.
One verse. Well, we can't, you know, we can't give everything away because we, you know, we hope people will come to the event, support the program. It's Illinois Public Media's Book Mentor Project. And the event is Words in the Wind. It's going to be at Faith United Methodist Church, which is located on South Prospect Avenue in Champaign, just south of Kirby, at 7:30. Tickets are available at the door. For more information about the event, you can contact Tom Mitchell at T-O, oh, this is too complicated to say in the air. Look him up on the U of I, but it's T-O-M-I-T-C-H-E at illinois.edu, or Molly Delaney, which is easier, at Delaney1 at illinois.edu, or you can probably reach her here through WYLL. And we heard a sample of the stories and songs that will be performed by Kara Morisi and Kent Conrad and numerous others, including Tom Mitchell. And thank you all very much for coming in and letting us know about it, and hope you have a good crowd.
Thanks a lot. Good
thank
to
you.
Be here.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Stay tuned next for a little feature on November Dance, put on by the dance program at the University of Illinois. It opens Thursday, continues through Saturday. And our live performers today will be previewing a particular dance, which involves the performance of music by John Philip Sousa. I should maybe amend that. John Philip Sousa will not be performing that music. It will be performance of some of his music live by the Vintage Brass Band. Support for our show today comes in part from Kennedy's Restaurant next to the Stone Creek Golf Club in Urbana, presenting their third annual Oyster Festival, November 5th through the 10th, featuring fried oysters, oysters on the half shell, oyster stew, oysters Rockefeller, and more. Details and reservations can be made at 384-8111. It's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thank you. That was music by Scott Joplin from his Red Back book, the name of that collection. And we heard The Chrysanthemum and The Ragtime Dance, both of them played by the New England Ragtime Ensemble led by Gunther Schuller. And heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I should give you a bit of a warning. Actually, I just had a bit of a warning a few moments ago about this because it's pertinent to this program. We'll be coming up at 1 o'clock. Our regularly scheduled programming on this and all other networks nationwide, believe it or not, will be interrupted with a short nationwide test of the emergency alert system. It will only be a test. There is no emergency that we're aware of, at least at 12:35. But at 1 o'clock, that will happen. So we'll go straight up to then, and then the feds will take over, so to speak. Actually, not really, but everybody's running them together. And so that will happen at 1 o'clock. At 1:01, as always, you'll have the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor if you're listening to 90.9 FM. And we'll go to classical music on 101.1 at 1:01. And then everybody gets classical at 1:06. Meanwhile, it's Live and Local on FM 90.9, a show which today is made possible with support from The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. This segment of the show, we're going to mention one specific event of several events and a whole bunch of exhibits that are happening as part of American Music Month, which is the month of November. Of course, it's already underway. November is and continues for all of its 30 days. And with us here to talk about some of the events, because he's always involved in organizing these and coordinating them and helping to publicize them here on the University of Illinois campus and in our community, is Scott Schwartz, who's director of the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music at the University of Illinois. Thank you very much, Scott, for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Why don't you give us an overview of this year's American Music Month celebrations?
This year's celebration focuses on music, dance, and drama in America. We often think of Sousa as the March King, but we forget that he wrote many dances, and more importantly, he wrote 16 different operettas. Most are unheard of today. And so we're really focusing on music and drama and that perspective of John Philip Sousa and several other great composers of music. But I think for today, we're really going to talk about dance and its impact. It's an opportunity to really think about dance in different ways, and we've got some wonderful talent here performing with us and with the dance department. In terms of stuff for the, in terms of exhibitions, we have several exhibitions on Sousa's operettas, his ballroom to basically parade field dance forms, and we threw in a little Harry Parch and a little Saul Martorano in terms of music and drama from that perspective. So quite a bit going on in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
I thought for a second you were going to say Harry Potter, which I thought would have been quite a stretch. You guys didn't bring any of Harry Potter's music to play today, I presume. No. Harry Parch is somebody who many people haven't heard of. You want to give who's Harry Parch? Just real briefly.
Very briefly, a composer who actually had a residence here at the University of Illinois. He's the creator of some of the most exotic music instruments I've ever seen or heard. And while we don't have his instruments here at the University of Illinois, we do have his papers. And for people interested in Harry Parch, you can come look at those papers and begin to get a better sense of who this creative genius was, who came from California to Illinois and went back.
And you have some photos of those and some of those instruments,
mm-hmm.
I imagine?
Yeah, we have those on exhibit, some really exotic-looking instruments, mostly percussion and in some string.
The Center for Sousa Archives and Center for American Music are housed in the Harding Band Building at the University of Illinois. If somebody wants to get an overview of all the events and also quite a bit of information about the exhibits, where would they go to do that?
Simplest way, SousaArchives.org, SousaArchives.org. Click on that and visit us as long as you'd like.
And Scott will be back next week, I think Wednesday or Thursday. I forget
which
day. Is it next Thursday? Mm-hmm. To talk about one of those specific events, which actually I'll be participating in this year for the first time, with the wonderful name of Granny's Porch, with mm-hmm. Some old-time music, but also some music from the Mikado and other Gilbert and Sullivan stuff, but things you also made in a way you've never seen it before, and some of Gilbert and Sullivan's music that you can't possibly have heard before.
That is correct.
If I understand right. In fact, there's a score I need to actually learn sometime before then, before we start rehearsing this on Tuesday. But the event we want to talk about today, actually, it's three events, effectively, because they take place three times. Starting tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana at the Caldwell Playhouse and running through Saturday. November Dance, put on by Dance at Illinois, that is the University of Illinois Dance Program. And each of those concerts will be preceded by a pre-concert event, a different one each day. And I think those start at 6:30.
That is correct, yes.
Those start at 6:30. Thursday's event is going to be The Politics of Improvisation and the Salmar Construction with Dorothy Martorano, Greg Danner, and Ken Beck. Salmar Construction is an electronic synthesizer, essentially.
The earliest digital synthesizer, yes. A computer that creates music.
And it was quite an interesting contraption, and it will be participating in this piece created by an alumna of the dance program named T. Lang. She's coming back. Mm-hmm. And then on Friday, Dessert and Conversation, The Politics of Politicizing, Sousa's Marches with Tracy Chesham, and then The Politics of Music and Dance with Sarah Hook and John Tenges. Is that how he says his name? And Sarah Hook is one of the faculty members at the dance program. She's also the choreographer of the piece from which we're about to have some live music called Patriot Act Up. So Sarah is with us here. Thanks very much for coming in, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
So what possessed you to set a dance piece to John Philip Sousa's music?
That's a very good question.
I thought so.
I actually attended a concert in Bloomington at Illinois State, a band concert where there was a lot of Sousa music. And as I often do when I'm in attendance at a music concert, I begin to fantasize about a theatrical context and movement. And I had been recently asked to choreograph a solo for a senior. This was back in 2004. And I knew it was an unlikely choice, and that always kind of thrills me to go into that kind of territory. So that was the initiation of that choice.
Yeah, I never really thought about that because I don't think like a choreographer, but I'm willing to bet that anytime you hear music, you start thinking, oh, could one dance to this? What could I do to this?
Very, very much, yes. We all do that.
Does that become irritating at all?
Well, there's some music that doesn't necessarily lend itself to, and of course every choreographer has a different vision, so there's some music that I can tune out to and not choreograph in my head to, which is more maybe ambient or calling on less of my attention. But it's actually something that is very calming and centering as well. So no, I don't think I would describe it as something that irritates me.
It could also be exhilarating. You know,
yes.
It's sort of, I imagine though it could be, I was thinking it could be something like, you know, when all of us gets a tune in our head and it won't go away. And it's probably there because it was a great tune. And after a while, enough of that tune. And I just wondered if you might sometimes like to go to a concert performance and just enjoy the music.
Yes, that would be nice.
So Sousa's music is going to be played by the Vintage Brass Band. And do we have all the members of the Vintage Brass Band here? Or
we
are there some who are
all
missing?
All but one. Our flutist piccoloist is teaching, right? And so we've got ourselves a quintet today.
Well, I know we've got Todd and Rose Cranston, mm-hmm. And we have Maureen I always want to say Maureen McGovern, but it is not, in fact, Maureen McGovern. And I'm going through all my Maureens. I didn't write this down. Maureen, quick.
Reagan, I'm sorry.
Reagan, thank you very much. all the Maureens that
I'll
I've
answer to McGovern.
Ever known, Maureen McGovern. And Tracy Parrish. And I'm sorry, I've forgotten our horn player's name.
My name's Randy Langelier.
Randy Langelier. And so all the music you're going to play today is on the program in some way or another.
That's correct.
But is it all going to be danced to?
Most of it is danced to. We do have a couple of interlude pieces.
And what have you got right now?
Well, I thought since we were talking about the Patriot Act Up that we could play the piece that is danced to for that. This is Sousa's The Thunderer.
Oh, that's a great march. I'm going to have to close my ears for this one. It's going to be loud, folks. Great March by Sousa, The Thunderer, played here by members of the Vintage Brass Band. I had written this down. It's right in front of me. Todd and Rose Krantz and Tracy Barish, Maureen Reagan and Randy Langelier here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. So this and this that music will be played as part of the November Dance Program Thursday through Saturday at the Krannert Center in Urbana with choreography by Sarah Hook. And this indicates my own complete lack of imagination when it comes to dance. But listening to that, all I can imagine is people marching around the stage. And I'm guessing you did better than I did.
Well, I don't know, I hope. she does some bit of marching, definitely. And
It's one person.
And I realize that's also an unlikely choice because most people would envision a large ensemble on stage to match that sound. But she does a great job. It's performed this weekend by a senior, Lindsay Lykowski. I originally set it in 2004 on Claire Happel and then on former Paul Taylor dancer Mary Cochran, who performed it a lot in New York and elsewhere. So this is the third dancer to take on this piece, and she's rocking it out. She's amazing.
So my next image, since you've now said it's one person, is somebody in majorette attire with a baton.
Well, it's not a majorette outfit, but it is like a marching band uniform. And she has the big hat with a plume, and she does do a little bit with an imaginary baton. So you're right on.
But just for the basics. I mean, beyond that, I'm sure that there are things that will surprise and delight, as they say.
I hope, and provoke as well, because this piece is a political satire in a lot of ways, made post-9/11 and during Bush-era politics. And I was wrestling with my own love of country and, excuse me, love of pomp and circumstance and patriotism, but also a lot of lingering questions, doubt, and criticism of some of the policies of that time, one of which was the Patriot Act, thus the name Patriot Act. And the last word up, I was recalling, ACT UP from the late 80s and 90s in New York. And so I put that together as a way of calling attention to taking action and having a strong expressed opinion. And there's also criticism of No Child Left Behind. It's subtle, maybe, but I don't want to give it away, but that's embedded in the piece, too.
Is the piece only as long as the tune we just heard?
No, there is a first section, which is by Morton Gould.
Parade.
Thank you. And that's performed also live by John Tengis and Jeff. I've forgotten his last name.
What does he do?
Snare drums.
Snare drum percussion.
Magby?
Zahos.
Oh, Jeff Zahos. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a much more, eerie, sparse sounding beginning. And then we end with a thunder. There's also some sound effects in the piece that the sound department has been working with me on. And lots of props.
But one person,
yeah.
I like the way that choreographers say, I created this piece on somebody.
Or with, I should have said, because it is often really more of a collaboration, because you're drawing certain qualities out of that dancer, maybe challenging them in certain ways. And certainly in the context of the original construction of this piece, it was working with a student. So there was a pedagogic agenda as well. And then resetting it on another student again. I'm working with her with a certain technical agenda to help push her. And that happens every time you reset a piece. You decide what challenges to cope with, what to highlight in that dancer. At least I do as a choreographer. I don't tend to nail the piece down, in the coffin, but let it breathe a little bit and maybe adapt to the individual who's doing it.
Well, it's great that, obviously you're in a pedagogical setting, so you're teaching these folks
right.
A thing or two. This is the November Dance Program put on by the Dance Department at the University of Illinois, Thursday through Saturday, and this is just one of numerous pieces, also one by T. Lang, and the pieces from resident artist Laura L.B. Brosh. Did I say her name right, I hope?
L.B. Brosh, yeah.
Brosh, Philip Johnston, Rebecca Walter. Vintage Brass Band has brought in at least another piece or two. What would you like to do next? This will also be on the program somewhere.
Well, maybe you could speak just a little bit about the Brosh work, Dance, Dance, Dance.
That's actually Rebecca Walter's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Rebecca Walter is a third-year MFA candidate in our program and a very, very experienced choreographer, long distinguished career, and she is working in this piece also in a very satirical way, kind of taking a hard look at the dance contest phenomenon and the sort of recital world of early dance training. And kind of poking fun of it, at the same time embracing what's fun about it. So it's a little celebratory and a little critical at the same time.
Tracy Parrish, trumpet player, sitting here going, oh, I get it now.
Yes, that's exactly right. I thought it seemed an awful lot like that context.
Yeah.
Now I understand.
Well, and you all can get it, but only if you actually see what's going on. The music probably won't tell you much, but that's at least the background.
Our vintage brass band, which actually is dissolved, so we are now all former members of. But we love playing music together. And what we did as an ensemble was playing 19th century American band music. And we've played for balls, particularly around the Lincoln celebration with the 200-year anniversary and things. And so what we're about to play for you is 19th century town band music. And it's very tidy and organized and nice and straight, and then to have this as the soundtrack underneath this celebratory, you know, modern, you know, dancing craziness, it's really kind of funny. So as we play this on the radio, your mind may take you to a place of hoop skirts and things like that, but on the stage it's a very different picture, and the contrast is part of the art, I think.
Members.
This is the Helter Skelter Gallop, from the books of the Humboldt Brass Band.
Former members of the Vintage Brass Band here on Live and Local, Todd and Rose Cranson, Tracy Parrish, Maureen Reagan, and Randy Langelier. They'll be playing that piece and others as part of the November dance program at the University of Illinois, Thursday through Saturday at the Craner Center in the Caldwell Playhouse. Each show starts at 7:30, and each evening has a different pre-concert presentation, 6:30 And you can look forward to those and get more information at krannertcenter.com. And for more information on other American Music Month events, go to
SousaArchives.org.
And thanks to Scott Schwartz, who's director of the Sousa Archives and Center of American Music, and Sarah Hook, who one of the choreographers involved in the November Dance program, for joining us on our show today. We have support for a program from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. This is Live and Local on 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.